And welcome to the program, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC. And it is a beautiful Saturday. Let's get right to it. Okay, exciting stuff in the news. What do we got? Trump had a great week. He just had a great week. And we're going to get into it a little bit later in the hour. I'll explain everything to you. And we'll talk about Cruz. We'll talk about the Carly Fiorina factor and what I think about it. But first, you know, we always try to find a couple of funny news things going on in the news. Did you hear about this birthday party in Mississippi? Great party in Mississippi. They threw a birthday party for a pothole. This is true. So there's this pothole that is almost 5 feet deep. Now I had to read that twice. I don't know. No, I mean it's real. It's real. So 5 feet deep, by the way, to me is not a pothole. It's a sinkhole. Okay, a 5 foot deep. Yeah, my whole sister would disappear into it. Yeah, my. Well, I don't want to pick on Gabby, but yes, she would just disappear into it entirely. Certainly all my kids would. Imagine hitting a 5 foot deep pothole. Well, anyway, so they're just not fixing it, right? And so time goes on and they're not fixing it. And a year goes by. And so these people in this town in Jackson, Mississippi, end up tying a birthday balloon to a poster, and it reads, "Happy Birthday, Pothole." Then the residents jokingly thank the pothole for hanging around since February 2015. Well, it was exactly what these city bureaucrats needed to get off their fat you-know-whats. Turns out, they're fixing the pothole. And like that, a life was extinguished. I thought they were pro-life down there. Who knew? So, but it's true. Maybe that's how you have to do it. Every time I come to the studio, and producer Robbie will attest to this, the construction on La Cienega is maddening, and it holds up. It doesn't matter. It could be weekday. It can be weekend. It can be in the morning. It can be at night. And this is a major road in LA. And those of you who drive through here, you know what I'm talking about. And what do you see out here? You see half the road blocked, cones everywhere, lights, arrows telling you to move over, three lanes down to one, and there's like two guys working. And what are they? They got like shovels. So I'm wondering, you know, what happens? You know, this is it. Robbie, we were talking about this, weren't we? What happens when you turn over things to Caltrans, when you turn things over to the city to fix? What happens when, because if it's a private company that has to fix a road and they have a contract and they have a due-by date, and that due-by date, when it expires, you know, these contracts are written to what? To incentivize road construction to get done. To be done. And so when you have a private company building a portion of a freeway, if they don't finish it by the due date, they're penalized. Did you know that? There's money subtracted off of their contract. And so, but no, the minute I see a city worker, I promise you, check this out. Anytime you come to a construction site and you see a city worker or a county worker, just immediately plan on avoiding that intersection for the next 2 years. Because those people are all getting their double time, their overtime, their golden time. They are there to milk the teat of the state of the government. I promise you. And if you have blood pressure issues, just don't go there. Yes. And yeah, and Bernie Sanders wants to turn the whole country into La Cienega. That's his utopian dream. Well, anyway, he's out for the count. I'll talk a little bit about that later. What else is going on? Oh, Germany. This is brilliant. They've lit up their sidewalks. Their sidewalks have little lights in them, like, you know, like runway lights. And it's because they want to avoid smartphone users from running, you know, it's like a little guides for smartphone users. Cause, you know, people are, do you see that? Well, I do it sometimes too, but you see that people are walking along, they're texting, they're looking down on their phone, they're not looking up, and apparently they're walking into traffic, they're walking right off of sidewalks. And so there are warning lights to signal where the end of a sidewalk begins, where the beginning of a roadway starts. And I don't know. Isn't this just Darwinism? I mean, now we've got an introduction of this new thing. And isn't it up to us to sort of adapt to it? And maybe the people that can't handle walking and texting, maybe they should be excluded from the gene pool. I mean, it's too cruel. Is that too cruel, Robbie? I don't know. It's because people do this and they drive. It's the most dangerous thing. This is actually worse than drunk driving. Oh, which takes me to not so funny news story about Snapchat. Who uses Snapchat? Do you use Snapchat? I don't. I'll qualify this. Typically, Snapchat users tend to be younger and especially dumber. And I say that, if you use Snapchat and you think you're, don't get all hot, don't get all mad at me. I'm going to explain this. So if you don't use Snapchat, let me explain this to you. And if you do, just bear with me for a minute. Snapchat will record videos and images. Rob, do you use Snapchat? But you have the app, right? And how many of your friends, half of your friends use it? What would you say? About half? And do people send Snapchats to you? Is that why you have the app? Or do you just not use it at all anymore? Yeah, so, you receive some, but you don't use it. Okay, so the idea is that when you send a picture, you send a video, you can set how long that picture or video will display for. And then, magically, poof. It's like a burn after reading thing. Remember, like, what is it? This message will self-destruct in 10 seconds. So it's all very, it's all very spy movie. The problem is that there are apps that will save that media. So if you've got a teenager and they think that they're being really sly by sending, you know, sexy videos of themselves to a boyfriend or a girlfriend, tell them, no, those videos are not just going to disappear and go away. This is a public service message from Sam Nation. No, there are apps that will save it. So you're not protected by any means, but there's this illusion that if you use Snapchat, whatever you send is never going to be entered into hard evidence. Well, there's a young woman who is going to find out how true that is in a very, very hard way. So she is driving very quickly and taking a Snapchat video of herself, and she's using a filter, which is an overlay that goes over the image. And this filter that Snapchat provides is one that shows how fast you're driving. So it shows that you're driving, well, in this case, 107 miles per hour. And how do we know that? Well, we know it because she sends out a video of herself Snapchatting going 107 miles an hour. And what happens next? Well, a car pulls out in front of her, and tragically, a couple is struck. I believe the wife ends up in the hospital, a coma for an extended period of time, and has a permanent traumatic brain injury. Unbelievable. Now, the couple, of course, are suing. Their medical bills are enormous. Their lives are forever changed. And they are including Snapchat in this lawsuit. Yes, they filed a lawsuit against Snapchat. Now, before you start to think, oh, how ridiculous, what a ridiculous joke, gotta understand that legally, a company may not introduce an item or a product into the stream of commerce That hurts people. Can't do it. It creates a product liability. It's a classic product liability case. So in other words, any time that you make a product, you've got to take reasonable precautions to make sure that it's safe. They don't have to be unreasonable or exceedingly high, but just reasonable steps to ensure that they're safe. And I think this is where this lawsuit's a winning deal because, you know, when you create an app that takes videos, that sends videos to your friends showing you doing ridiculous things and allows you to place an overlay on that video of how fast you're driving, there's only one purpose for that. Am I wrong? The only purpose is to be able to show everybody how fast you're going. I mean, nobody's getting out there saying, look at me, I'm a model citizen, I'm driving 25 in a school zone. No. And so Snapchat, especially if they've had previous cases of this, right? If there have been other instances, and their attorneys are arguing that there have been previous instances where people have done this and caused harm. And so, you know, I see why they're doing it. I mean, Snapchat's a company worth $20 billion, and presumably these people have enormous damages, and they're not even going to begin to get covered by insurance. So that's it. Oh, but this gal is such an idiot that she's not done Snapchatting. Missy, you're not going to believe this. So the gal's name is McGee. She's also hurt, naturally, because this impact is 107 miles an hour. She apparently also took a Snapchat while she was in the ambulance. Yes. The caption, with as blood is running down her face, quote, lucky to be alive. Unbelievable. What an idiot. Okay. We got a little local story out of Anaheim. Disneyland and politics. Back after this. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KABC. And we're back. Okay, so let's say we're talking about that Snapchat accident where we have a gal speeding down the freeway and taking a Snapchat video of herself and posting in real time her speed. And I've got to say, this is, if something like that happens to you, it's so important to get a lawyer that's going to look at all the angles of the case. Because, yeah, I know, because from my experience, there most lawyers are really lazy. I mean, they'll look at that case, they will see this enormous injury, and, you know, I don't know what kind of insurance this gal has, but let's say it's decent. I mean, let's say it's, you know, $250,000, and, you know, a lazy lawyer is going to look at that and go, yeah, let's just snap up the $250,000 policy and move on. And they would never look at this as a product liability case. They wouldn't look at maybe the role that Snapchat played. Or maybe there's something wrong with the road. Maybe that's a stretch of highway where there are accidents routinely. You know that, you know, you can pull, this is something, and a lot of lawyers don't do this because they just, I'm telling you, they're lazy. They cut corners. You can pull a report that will show you, you can designate a stretch of a roadway. I wonder if you knew this, where all the data for every accident for a period of time is recorded and kept as a public record. And so what a good attorney will do in every serious accident is look at that data and analyze it and make sure that in that, you know, that there maybe isn't a roadway issue case. But remember too, it's always, you know, this is a little pro tip here. Always act quickly. Always get yourself to a lawyer quickly. Call, you know, Sweet James, call him. Call him, ask him. But the time is of the essence, because do you know what a statute of limitations is? You know what that is? It's all about, you know, letting sleeping dogs lie. Like, you have a certain period of time in a case to file a lawsuit. And it's the same with criminal charges, right? There's certain criminal charges that, you know, after 10 years, whatever, they expire, right? You can no longer pursue a claim or a case against somebody. And the idea is that a certain amount of time goes on, it's over. Now, in a civil claim, every type of civil claim has an expiration date. And it's because it's up to you to assert your rights. And if you haven't, if you don't care enough about your case to do something about it right away, well, the idea is you didn't care about it enough, and the other guy needs to be able to move on with his life at some point. And that's the idea behind it. I bring this up with these certain cases. Generally, most accident cases like this in California have only a 2-year statute. Remember this. You have 2 years, but in these roadway cases, it's even less, because if you're suing a public entity, you might have as little as 6 months to file a claim. 6 months. That goes by like that. So please, 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 on these cases, ask somebody, call. Sweet James, for example. Well, we'll talk a little bit more about Sweet James in a bit. Okay, Anaheim, who's been there? I have. My kids love Disneyland. Oh my gosh. I think we've had annual passes for as long as I can remember. And it's always murder going down there. The traffic, oh my gosh, the traffic. And trying to get 3 kids out the door and in the car and in the parking garage and then in the tram and then in through the park, and then they first look into your bags, and then you go. I do not do lines. I hate lines. I mean, so Disneyland for me is basically torture. But if you go to Anaheim, what do you see? I'll tell you. First of all, you see a lot of money, okay? You go down a little tiny road somewhere in Anaheim, and it will be lined with palm trees. And the curbs are beautiful. And if you come from L.A., you just, what is this promised land? Where are we? This is nice. Oh my gosh, the streets are paved, and yeah, the bushes are, everything's manicured. The trees are gorgeous. Why is it? Well, it's called Disneyland. The amount of tax revenue that the city gets from Disneyland is out of this world. Okay? And you have a city too. It's an interesting place because you have Anaheim Hills, which are relatively ritzy. And then you've got Anaheim, parts of Anaheim. Well, I don't want to disparage. What's the nickname? Anacrime? But if you're in law enforcement, and if you're listening to a show and you're in law enforcement, you'll back this up. I mean, working for Anaheim PD, that's a good gig. So I've got a friend who's I won't tell you exactly what he does, won't out him. Anaheim, he tells me, Anaheim PD, that is the place to work. I mean, they pay well, they take care of their people great, they got a great retirement program, all the best equipment, everything top-notch. But the 800-pound gorilla in Anaheim is Disneyland, okay? They are the lobby. Who here saw that bit on the news? It was maybe Wednesday of this week, of those protesters, those anti-Trump and pro-Trump protesters outside of Anaheim City Hall. Franz, did you see that? No. Okay. So I'm watching TV and I see these, they see these protesters, and the idea is that I guess there's some city resolution that has been brought up to be heard by the city, and the resolution is basically denouncing Trump and Trump's rhetoric, disparaging things that Trump has said about women and minorities. And the matter is being heard at City Hall, and there's a bunch of Donald Trump supporters that show up. And then there are a bunch of the anti-Trump people that show up. And it's apparently the anti-Trump people are bust out some pepper spray and start pepper spraying the pro-Trump people. And the pro-Trump people, there's this grandma there, and she brings her grandkids, and her grandkids get pepper sprayed. Okay? So, first of all, let me just tell you, if you're going to go to a contentious political rally in this election cycle, maybe leave your kids at home. And it's terrible I even have to say that. I loathe that I have to say that, because this is America. This is America. This is the land of, we express our opinions, we have freedom to do so, and we respect differences in opinion. And we also, it kind of draws an interesting contrast, right? Trump says something outrageous, but then the people that come out to defend his outrageous comments bust out outrageous conduct. And I come from the, right, well, is this a freedom of speech discussion? It is. Because in this country, you can pretty much say whatever you want. You have that freedom. But you can't do whatever you want. In other words, I can call you stupid, but I can't push you. There's a significant line there. I don't have the right to push you or to slap you. Now, I might want to slap you. Trust me, there's not a day that goes by that I don't want to slap somebody. But can't do it. But I can call you a moron. And, well, but I wouldn't because you're not. But, I mean, you know those people, right? You just want to. Anyway. So this is the setup to what's going on. And that's all the media covered, right? They just said, here are the Trump protesters. Here's the anti-Trump people. And they bust out the pepper spray and the cops get involved. And I don't think they even arrested anybody. They separated out both sides. A couple people got treated at the scene. And that was it. Oh, and by the way, the thing gets, this resolution against Trump gets voted down 3-2. But what's the real story? And I'll tell you, if you haven't heard this anywhere else, it's because it's not been talked about anywhere else. And the backstory here is that there's a little bit of a behind the scenes fight going on in Anaheim, and it all has to do with voting. What's the rule? The smaller the town, the bigger the politics. So Anaheim had for years a single district voting plan, right? The idea is that there are 5 seats on the council, and when you vote for those seats, it's an open election to everyone in the city of Anaheim, okay? And does that seem reasonable? Well, the problem is it might not technically have been legal, and they got sued. In 2012, all the way back in 2012, they got sued by the ACLU, and the ACLU came in and said, you can't do this because you know what? You're diluting the minority vote. And this all has to do with equal protection, the 14th Amendment. And also in California, we have this Voters' Rights Act. And I think what happened is Anaheim got sued under this Voters' Rights Act back in 2012. And what they're saying is, like, and just picture this for a minute. Let's say that you have a city where it's a 40% minority and 60% white, whatever that means. I mean, it's hard to even keep track of these things. But let's just say that's what's going on. If you have 5 seats and they're voted on by the entire district, the idea is that the majority will occupy all 5 seats because the majority of people will vote for their guy. And the reason that it's considered better to have districts, so you divide the city up into 5 districts, is that the minority areas can vote can each vote for themselves for that one council member. Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. You know, it makes sense. And it's one of the things that it does, whether you like it or not, it's the law. So what happens? So the city loses this deal. I mean, it's the law. The city loses. They agree to settle. It's going to cost them a bunch of money. And now there's a council member it's the same one that introduced this resolution denouncing Donald Trump. How about that? I'm going to tell you what it was that she, I'll tell you what she's facing here and maybe explain a little bit the background behind why she's doing this. Okay? Back right after this. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC. Okay, welcome back. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC. And we were talking about Anaheim and what's going on there, and this kind of the backstory here to that Donald Trump protest that they had this week. Before we get there, though, if you are in an accident, if you're driving along and some crazy teenager Snapchatting away slams into your car, talked about this in the first hour, didn't we? Well, if you get hit like that, what you need a smart lawyer. And not just a smart lawyer, you want someone who's gonna examine every part of that case and who's not gonna be afraid to take on even if the whoever the opponent is, even if it's Snapchat. You want a guy that's gonna look at he's gonna look under every rock to see whatever he can do to make your case go through all the way. And that guy is Sweet James Bergner. That's right. He is an attorney who is ferocious. But he's also the guy that will talk you through things, will listen to you, will go through everything. And success story after success story, I've heard from people who've had their lives changed by James. Call him. 1-800-881-2021. 1-800-881-2021. Or visit www.sweetjames.com. Okay, so Anaheim, all right, so they've got this clash, and it's all about, what is it? It's all about this this resolution to denounce Donald Trump's, some of his more derisive, quote-unquote derisive statements. And the councilwoman behind this, what's her name? Her name is Chris Murray. And Chris Murray is one of the people, she is fighting tooth and nail right now. This, because the lawsuit happened, we talked about it just before the break. ACLU came in and said, you can't have these at-large elections where you have five positions on the city council and they're all voted upon by the whole city. You can't do that. You've got to divide the city up into districts so that you don't disenfranchise minority voters. Okay, so the city lost the lawsuit or is settling the lawsuit, and they've agreed on a redistricting or a districting plan, and she is fighting it. And she's fighting it because, well, she's white, and she's going to end up in a minority district. And so what does she do? She, this is ridiculous, just the pandering here. The pandering. So what does she do? She files this resolution denouncing divisive rhetoric by Donald Trump. And, well, forget the protest, right, and the people that get pepper sprayed and all that. Of course, that's outrageous all on its own, but, you know, this ties up over 5 hours of public comment and debate. This is precious city time. Don't they have better stuff to do? But what is it? She is, this is what politicians do. This is why we hate politicians, right? It's so manifestly transparent. You know, what does she say here? I want them to know, she says, I want to stand up for Anaheim minorities hurt by Donald Trump's words. Quote, I want them to know that they have a voice in the city. Words can be harmful and can have a genuine impact in people's lives, and the council should weigh in on this. All right. Look, we all understand their levels of politics, right? You've got and a city council should deal with city business. What a national candidate says or doesn't say on the campaign trail really has nothing to do with city business. It doesn't. It doesn't. But right, this is grandstanding, and this gal here, Ms. Murray, she's got an interesting past. Because we talked a little bit about Disneyland and the 800-pound gorilla. And it turns out she's very cozy with Disneyland's top government relations lady. In fact, so cozy that the two of them last year took a girls' trip to Europe. Interesting. Perhaps. So, and well, and she's voted favorably, right, Robbie? She's voted favorably for Disneyland. Well, so Disneyland has certain key interests. Okay, if you are as big as Disneyland and are reliant on the city that you're in to provide, let's say, for example, a favorable tax structure. One of the favorable taxes, they don't want ticket sales to be taxed, admissions to be taxed. And they've successfully passed a moratorium on that levy from being raised for a long time. I think like 45 years they've resisted it. And it was up for a vote, right, to be raised again. And this gal votes against it. Now, the city already benefits so much from Disneyland. Why would they? It's probably good. It's a good thing. I don't think they should raise taxes on admissions. That just hurts you and me. I mean, do you know how much? It's crazy how much it costs. It's over $100 now just for one park, one day. What's the number at? It's well over $100. Let's raise taxes on it. That cost will just get passed right down to the consumer. So the premise of it's unreasonable. But anytime you're in politics, you've got to be independent. And it's not a good thing to be caught kind of hanging out, going on girls' trips with the head person at Disneyland in charge of schmoozing public officials, right? She's basically the other lady's the head lobbyist. Not a good idea. And so all of this I only bring up to say that this Congress, this councilwoman, Chris Murray, is in for a tough fight. She's in for a tough election fight. And so she does just the cheapest trick. She gets out there and makes the creates this resolution denouncing Trump. And by the way, since when are we all so hurt about what other people say? Is it just me, or isn't the whole premise of hurtful words kind of ridiculous? I get when you're in the third grade, they teach you, don't be mean to Johnny, you're going to hurt his feelings. And it's an appropriate lesson in the third grade. If you're 30 and you can't get over someone hurting your feelings, then you've got some growing up to do. The whole concept of free speech is that we tolerate speech that we don't agree with. And the most intolerant thing, you know, we hear about intolerance a lot, right? Lack of tolerance, be more tolerant. Try this. Be more tolerant of the guy you disagree with. Be a little less damn sensitive. And this politics of sensitivity drives political correctness. I mean, this absurd theater that we put on that we can't say what we're really thinking because, gasp, we're going to offend somebody. I mean, that's why can't we talk about race? You know, why can't we talk about gender? I mean, why must we all agree? Don't you find it a little bit disturbing when there is a set viewpoint that you're obligated to embrace? I mean, imagine if we approached science in this way. Product development. I mean, everybody agreed the Earth was flat, and there were people, you know, people got burned at the stake for saying the Earth was round, and you know what? The Earth was round, and the entire premise of barring people from speaking their opinion, obviously in that context, is ridiculous. But it's even on a smaller level, it's ridiculous it's thought police. I always talk about my dad. My dad grew up in Stalinist Czechoslovakia. So he was a teenager in the 1950s in a small town that was in the height of communist fervor. And that is the thought police is you could there were things you could say, and there were things you were not allowed to say. And if you said the wrong thing, what happened? Well, you got arrested, you got hauled in front of a committee that would investigate you. You might end up going to jail or to worse yet to a labor camp, and for indoctrination and retraining. Now, I don't want to overplay this parallel, but you know when how many celebrities get out there, you know, people on the radio say the wrong thing, and yeah, you know what they said was dumb and it was ignorant, but you know, it's not criminal. And next thing you know, they're being sent off to retraining and sensitivity training. This is absurd. This is America. People died so we could speak our minds without threat of prosecution. And I think this thought police thing, and this is where you get these little city government crackpots all banging their drums because they're trying to wag the dog and deflect from what's really going on in their backyard. But it's dividing people, and it literally, in this case, got a couple kids pepper sprayed. Absurd. All right, I'm going to recap the election and tell you what's going to happen next week. Yes, I will. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KABC. And soaring like an eagle over the fruited plain, high above the Purple Mountain's majesty, Air Trump. There it is. It's glorious 757. Flying from the northeast to the southwest. Love him, hate him. You've heard it here since last year. Donald Trump will be the next president of the United States. I'm sorry. It's going to happen. Now, if you're a celebrity, okay, and I understand that every celebrity has an opinion about politics. Is that how that works? Well, there's a list of celebrities, and we're keeping track of them just so you don't have to, that are going to be leaving the country when this happens. So, well, Al Sharpton, he's out. Reverend Al, he's going to bounce. If Donald Trump is the nominee, I'm open to support anyone, while I'm also reserving my ticket to get out of here if he wins. Now, they're all going to Canada. Who wants to go to Canada? I wouldn't want... There's better places to go than Canada. Anyway, Samuel L. Jackson, he's going. Jon Stewart threatened to leave the whole planet. Cher was very specific. She said she was going to Jupiter. Jennifer Lawrence, that's right. J-Law. If Donald Trump wins, it'll be the end of the world. That's probably because Cher's leaving the planet. Whoopi Goldberg, whatever. Okay. Rosie. Yeah, Rosie, you better watch out. He's going to come for you. Lena Dunham, I loved it. And, you know, they asked Trump, what do you think of this? Lena Dunham says she's moving to Canada. And he's like, take her and her mediocrity with her. Yeah, well, she said she's a B-actor. She is a B actor and has no mojo, it's like the worst insult you can get from Donald Trump to have him tell you got no mojo. You know one celebrity? This will interest you. One celebrity that is staying and it will actually likely vote for Donald Trump? Caitlyn Jenner. Missy, did you know this? So you know Trump waded into this whole transgender bathroom deal, and he's just summed it up so normally. So I know you want to write Trump off as being a kook and being a crazy guy and this outrageous bigot. You know what he said about transgender bathroom use? He's addressing the whole thing that happened in North Carolina. He said, there have been very few complaints the way it is. People go, they use the bathroom they feel is appropriate. Yeah, that's it. People go to the bathroom and use the one that they feel is appropriate. That's it. That could be our policy, right? I mean, it's common sense. And then he goes on specifically, says about, hey, look, there's been so little trouble. I mean, why make a big deal about it? Let's address the issues as they come up. Anyway, okay. Where are we today? I'm not gonna prognosticate anymore. Where are we today? Sam, be real with me. Where are we at today? Okay? Here is where we're at. Trump won every state on Tuesday. He won every district, maybe with the exception of one, on Tuesday. And what else? Cruz won pretty much nothing. He walked away with two delegates. And Trump's total went, well, last week we talked about Trump. We talked about the delegate math. Trump went from 845 delegates to 955 delegates within striking distance of 1237. Everybody's been telling you, right? They've been telling you, it's not going to make it. He's not going to get there. He can't do it. No way, no how. Broker convention, contested convention. Ugh. There he is. 955 delegates. He is knocking on the door. And by the way, if you think our math is off, remember this, we only count the bound delegates. We don't go into the unbound delegates. He will get some of those unbound delegates. So I want to replay, you know what? I'm sick and tired of people thinking that I don't know what I'm talking about because it's, okay, let's replay. Do we have that clip from last week? I'm talking about the numbers for Trump. I'm talking about where he's at, and this was 1 week ago today. Roll the tape. So, what does Trump have to do? All he has to do is get 63% of the remaining votes, remaining delegates, not votes, delegates. Okay, so that was last week. You know, and how do you figure that, right? So you've got the remaining contests, and you calculate, okay, the total number of delegates available, and you calculate how many he needs, right, to get in order to get to the magic number of 1237. And last week, it was 63%. Now roll the next tape.
All he has to do is get 63%. So every time that he exceeds the number that he needs to get, that percentage continues to shrink at the expense of the other candidates. It's a zero-sum game.
Period. Right? So where are we today? 56.5%. His required percentage dropped 7%. In one night. So I always hesitate to make this about numbers because I've gone back and forth on him, things I like about the guy and things I don't, but I've consistently believed that he was going to lock this nomination up and probably become the next president. And I believed it because on a general sense of how he, you know, I remember seeing him out there and I remember hearing what he had to say and I thought, you know what, this is situational, right? He is applying ideology to the current mood of the country, and he's doing it really well. And what he's saying people are going to react to, and I knew that. I knew it in my gut. But here, right now, it's not all about the numbers. So don't let people get all into the numbers. The numbers are only part of the story. The big thing that came out of New York, the big thing that came out of last Super Tuesday, is that Trump is on a roll. So much so that you have people that have in the past opposed him who are now openly getting comfortable with him as the nominee. And Trump, very wisely, by the way, is moderating some of his more inflammatory off-the-cuff rhetoric, opting for more serious policy-minded speeches like the one that we saw on Wednesday of this week at the Mayflower in Washington. And he's so and it's and the perception is reality. These the more Trump is perceived to be the nominee, the guy who can take this all the way, the more of those unbound delegates he picks up. It's those unbound delegates are ones that are not required to go vote for Trump or the candidate that they're pledged to in the first round. They are, we'll call them free agents. And these free agents can play for whatever team they will want. And they can be lobbied, of course. But most importantly, they're not going to stand up there. Trump goes into the convention and has, 1,150, 1,200 delegates. He's not going to, the 200 superdelegates aren't just going to stand there and go, yeah, you know what? No, we're going to go with Kasich. It's just not going to happen. It can't. People go with the winner. So, okay, so we'll go through this. Where's Cruz? Well, we told you last week that he was mathematically eliminated. And only now are people getting around to really understand. Anyway, we're ahead of the time here. What can I tell you? It's almost like listening to the future. Cruz is at 138, almost 39%, right? We talk about it as extra credit. Cruz needs a lot of extra credit. Kasich has broken through the sound barrier of suck, okay? He's at 217% remaining delegates. 217. He needs more than twice the available. I don't even know what to do here. This guy is a clown and a half. And hanging on just by the hairs of his chinny chin chin so he can maybe contest. Well, I don't know. Now, what about this pact in Indiana? What about Carly Fiorina? Let's talk about these in order. The pact in Indiana where Kasich is agreeing to step aside in favor of Cruz going in and taking the lead. It's not good. Frank Luntz, you guys know who that is. He's the pollster guy on Fox News. I was watching this week. He had a focus group on, and his stuff tends to be pretty biased against Trump. He's got a group of people in there from Indiana, and he asks them, what do you think of this deal? What do you think of this deal between Kasich and Cruz? And the Cruz supporters, the Kasich supporters, the Trump supporters all said, I don't like it. It smells of politics. And the beneficiary of people turned off by politics as usual is Donald Trump. Now, the second thing is Carly Fiorina, too little too late. She's a quality candidate. It might have made a difference 3 months ago. It's just too little too late. It's a weak, desperate move, and it reeks of pandering. And no matter how you sell it and how you twist and turn it, it is what it is. So here it is. Trump's going to win Indiana, and Cruz is going to be out of the race. They will be writing Cruz's obituary the next time we talk. And that's what's going to happen. So, listen, we're out of time again. Oh, never enough time. Let's have a great week. Let's follow that election and stay off of Snapchat, whatever you do. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC.